Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
That he has done. Today we thank God that he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. And we are proclaiming today that he has not some power, but he has all power in his hand. And we are certainly thankful to the Most High God for this day and for this hour. Yes, we are excited about what God is about to do today on this broadcast. We thank God for our topic today. It is the gift of power. And our key verse is, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then if we would use for our center truth, we would use God gives his people gifts of power to develop and equip them. And we want you at this time to just get excited, to just call a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. Yes, we're going to be talking about the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the miraculous power. We would like to, at this time, to introduce to you the speakers of Breakthrough Broadcast, our panelists. We thank God for the women of God. They are as following: Miss Helen Hooper and Pastor Francina Shanks. At this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise thy name. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. Oh, God, you're going to do according to your word. Yes, God, we thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we thank you because that word, how we hear it in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, today, thy people need a break in their life. God, they need to hear from you. God, they need understanding. They need revelation. God, they need healing. They need deliverance, Lord God. And even, Father God, as we teach God on this day, on this broadcast, God, calls them to hear you, Father God, through your word. God, that every need, God, that they need in their life, God, that it will be manifest this day and this hour. Lord, even as we pray, God, as we go through this broadcast, God, let souls be saved and let lives be changed. And for this, God, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We're getting ready to talk about the gift of power. And we want you to know that God wants us to operate in the gift of power. He wants us to have power. Word of God says we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon us. So at this time, we're going to be going to our first topic, which is the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And we want you to welcome Miss Helen Hooper to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Miss Helen Hooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to all our Breakthrough Broadcast listeners and our family. Thank you for being here today. Thank God for this beautiful day. And I'm going to be coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, which says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. And then I'm going to be going over to Acts, the 3rd chapter, and it's 1 through 10, and it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said on us, look on us. and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement that which had happened unto him. And here we see, and we're talking about the gift of faith. And here we see there was a man that was lame, say, from his mother's womb, which he was paralyzed. He couldn't walk from birth. So we're talking about the gift of healing. And as you look in verse 7, it says, and he took him by his right hand and lifted him, and immediately his feet and ankles, his bones received strength. And I was thinking, well, he wouldn't have reached out his hand, extended his hand to be lifted up if he did not have faith enough to know that this was going to happen. So when we have the gift of faith, we have an unconditional, unshakable, confidence in God's presence and his power and his promises. We just have, it's an extraordinary confidence in God. And thus we see men and women of God, some men and women of God have the gift of faith. You cannot tell them that God cannot do a thing. You cannot tell them that God cannot heal them. You cannot tell them that God cannot make a way, because they have a gift of faith. There are some of us who, we are all born with a measure of faith, but that faith has to be watered. It has to be nurtured to grow. So God has to do things, some things for us, and he has to move some things for us. And as we see him moving in our lives, and as we see him doing things in our lives, our faith grows and grows and becomes bigger and bigger. But some of us have the gift of faith, which you cannot shake. You cannot tell us that God cannot do a thing. And when you look over, and I call it the hall of faith, in Hebrews 11, it's got all the people there who had faith, that they mentioned in the Bible, who had faith and actually wrote in the chapter 11 of Hebrews chapter 11, and it starts off in chapter 4. It says, by faith Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it goes on to say, especially in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So we have to have faith in order to please God. If we don't have faith, because like I said, we are all born with a measure of faith, or given a measure of faith, he wants us to believe in him. If we have no faith, that tells him that we don't believe in anything that he can do for us, and we don't believe that he can move mountains. We don't believe that he can heal. He can make a way in your finances. He can change things and turn them around. We don't have that faith, and that tells him we don't have any confidence in him. We're not believing that he's the God of all, that he made heaven and earth, and he made the universe, and he's in charge of it all, and he can do anything that he pleases. So I look in chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, when I want to go through the hall of faith, and that's what I call it, because we have so many people in here. They mention Enoch. They mention Noah, how Noah built the ark. When God gave him an order, he built the ark. He didn't ask God, well, Mark, these people are going to say I'm crazy. It's not raining. When God told him to go and build an ark and gave him instructions, he did not question God. He did exactly what God told him to do, because he had faith enough to know that it was going to happen. So if you have a gift of faith, no one can shake your confidence in God. No one can tell you that God cannot do a thing. That's why we have some leaders that we see today. These leaders have gifts of faith. They encourage their congregations. They speak faith. They live faith, and people can see them living faith. And they just edify the body of Christ, and they lift them up. And that's what we're here to do. And people with gifts of faith encourage God's people. They should be the encouragement and just build them up. And when people see that you have faith and you start sharing with them what God has done for you and all the things that God has done in your life, there was one time all in my life I had to have faith. I had a hospital say that the doctors was not giving me a good report, but I had to have faith on my own to know that he was going to heal me, because the doctors were telling me that I didn't have any blood in my body, and it looks as if my bone marrow was not producing blood. And I knew that that wasn't true. I didn't accept that, but I knew that God was going to heal me. And before I left that hospital, on the sixth day I was released from the hospital, my doctor had to come back and say that I was a miracle, because when the saints of God came to pray for me in my hospital room, I still had to have faith enough to know that God was going to heal me because I was there all by myself. There was nobody praying for me. There was nobody there by my side 25/7. It was just me and God. So my faith has grown tremendously, and I believe in my heart that I know that I have the gift of faith. Nobody can tell me that God can't do a thing and that he won't do a thing. He will do anything that you have faith enough in him for him to do. He will not work without faith. Without faith, like I said, is telling him that he's not capable, that he can't do it. And we know that he's an all-knowing, he's an all-doing, all. He doesn't need anybody's help. He is God all by himself. He made the universe. How much more can he do for you? If he made the universe as big as it is, we'll never get to see it all. How much more can he do for you? So today, saints, I'm telling you to sharpen your faith. Read your word. Get in your word. Look at what God has done throughout your life. Look at what he's brought you from. Situations that you didn't think you would come back from. Sicknesses, illnesses, financial difficulties, financial ruin, some of us. God can do anything, but we have to have faith enough to know that he will do that. And like in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible. It's impossible to please him. So we have to please him. Pleasing him is having faith. And like I said, we all are born with that measure of faith. We need to just water it and nurture it. That means getting our word, trusting God, get a relationship with him. Thank you. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. We thank God, and we're excited about what God is saying to us today. We are hearing what God is saying to you everywhere. You may be in South Carolina. You may be in Mexico. You may be in New York City or Colorado. Wherever you are right now, God wants you to know that you can have faith to believe him. As the woman of God says, the word of God tells us in Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hope by the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you got to stand. Miss Hoover, when she was in the hospital, she had to pray. She had to believe God for herself. She said there weren't anybody around that was praying for her. So no matter what the physician said to her, she had to stand on God's word. She had to know who she was in God. She had to know that with Christ, without Christ, she can do nothing, but with Christ, her body would be healed. And even with the information and diagnosis that the doctor had for her, she was not receiving it because she was going to walk by faith. And she believed God. And yes, she received her miracle. Yes, because she had faith enough to believe the Almighty God. So let's move on as we go to that same topic, because God has revelation. God has information that your faith can be built, that we need to know how to stand in faith, and we need to know how to depend on God, no matter how it looks, no matter how it seems. But the faith that God would give, the gift of faith, is what we need this day and this time. Let's go to Pastor Francina Shane, as she comes to us, and she's going to be giving us some more revelation and information about the gift of faith. Pastor Shane.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be speaking from Acts, the 27th chapter, the 12th through the 15th, through the 21st, through the 26th verse. As I read this chapter, it's talking about Paul. I'm in Acts 27. And Paul was taken prisoner, and the Romans were sending him to Rome to stand before Caesar. And Paul was on this ship. And Paul told these men, you know, because the Holy Ghost had given him a word and showed him that they were going to come into some danger. They were going to be in a storm. And Paul spoke to the captain of the ship and said to him, he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." But verse 11 says the centurion didn't believe him. He believed the captain. Praise God. Didn't believe Paul at all. And so then verse 12 says, here is Paul talking. And verse 12 said, because the laden was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and winter there, which is a haven of Crete and lies toward the southwest and northwest. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, they let the ship drive. They let the wind drive the ship. And so then they ran into a certain island, which is called Clauda, and they had much work to come by the boat. I'm going down to verse 21. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no one be lost of any man's life among you but of the ship. Paul told him, no man is going to be lost but only the ship. And for there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am, who I belong to, and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given all these men to you that sail with you. And he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. So he told them, you know, we're going to land at a certain island. But they didn't believe Paul. But Paul stood anyway on the word of God. He did not look to the left or the right. They did not take heed to anything that Paul said. And, you know, Paul believed God, and that's how we have to be. When God tells us something, we have to believe what he has told us. We have to stand on what God has said. We can't look to the left or to the right. And you know that gift of faith has been given to us by God. And it's the same spirit. Many gifts have been given to the body of Christ, and faith is one of them. First of all, we were given faith anyway. That's how we believe in our salvation. That is by faith. Praise God. And, you know, Paul was talking about faith. He taught about the gift of faith. He said, though he had all faith that he could remove mountains and do not have charity, it's nothing. So we got to walk in love in these gifts that God has bestowed upon us. Paul was talking about that. Praise God. And then, you know, the Lord gave me more script concerning faith. Faith has to work with love. Galatians 5 and 6 is talking about that. Paul was teaching it to the Galatians. But faith which works by love, faith has to work by love. We got to have love to operate faith, because we know the scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'm speaking from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then I'm going to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God has given us faith, men and women of God, brothers and sisters out there that are listening. But we got to walk in love also, because love operates faith. Praise God. And faith is a substance. In other words, faith is assurance. That word substance means assurance. We got to have that assurance that God is going to move, even though we don't have the evidence of it. We haven't even seen it yet, but we have that assurance in our heart that God is going to move. Praise God. And so God has given us that faith, but it's got to operate with love. And we don't have love, and we can have faith like Paul say to move mountains, but if love is not there to work it, it's not going to profit us anything. So we got to have love so that the gift of faith, or that faith that God has put in us, can operate properly. Faith which works by love. Hallelujah. We got to have love, men and women of God, brothers and sisters. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but it has to operate with love, and God has given us love, because the scripture says that the love of God has been put in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and God is love. And so we got to operate in love. In other words, I like to say this, I like to say you got to practice love. The gift of love has been given to us through the Spirit, and it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit, but we got to let it operate. We got to let it work. We got to be doers of God's word. We can't just hear it, but we got to be doers. And so to walk in faith and move in faith and do what God says and to believe what he said, we got to let love work it. We got to let love operate in us. So faith works by love. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks. I thank God that we can hear the word of God, even as Pastor Shanks let us know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be able to hear the word of God. We need to be able to comprehend God's word. And I thank God because God will give us life through his word. And we just can't say that we have faith and don't apply it to our lives. I'm excited about what God is doing in this day and time. Yes, I'm excited about the word of God. When we began to talk about the gift of faith, when we began to talk about the gift of faith, it stirred me up. As we heard the women of God, as they began to talk about the word of God through 1 Corinthians, through the book of Acts, and through the book of Hebrews, that let us know that God is at work. And we, when we know that God is at work, then it tells us that our faith, when we stand on God's word, and that our faith is then activated through the word of God, because the word of God made a study to show that self-approval of God, a woman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Yes, we're talking about the gift of faith. And then we'll want to move into that area of the gift of healing. I'm telling you today that we serve a God that is able to heal, and he is able to deliver, and he's able to make free. When I began to think about the healing power of God, I believe the word of God let us know that he paid the price 2,000 years ago for our healing and for our deliverance. When we look at the book of Acts, let's look at that the eighth chapter. Yes, I know the word of God says in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I thank God, as we said before, about the power of God. But then we want to look at the power of God being demonstrated in our lives. When we begin to look at Luke, the 8th chapter, and about that 22nd verse, we see the power of God being demonstrated in our lives. It takes faith in order for the power of God to be manifested in our lives. It takes faith for healing to be manifested. When we look at that 22nd verse, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and we're in jeopardy. We see here, as we look at the word of God, we see as God is struggling his disciples, see, obedience is better than a sacrifice. When we see the word of God, as he instructed his disciples to go over on the other side, and as they began to go over on the other side of the lake, they had launched for, but as they began to go, Jesus, he fell asleep. I don't know, was that a test in time in their lives? But yet, sometimes the body need to get somewhere. But here, the word of God tells us in the word of God that Jesus, he fell asleep. And then the word tells us, after he fell asleep, the word tells us that there came a storm, and the wind on the, it was wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. Their lives was in danger. It seems like their lives was in danger. It seemed like things wasn't going right. Don't you haven't you experienced a time in your life? It seemed like a storm. It seemed like a hurricane. It seemed like a tornado. Things are up and down, being tossed to and fro. Seems like things are not going the way that it should be going. Well, Jesus, he was asleep. The thing that we're hearing here when we read the word of God, that he was on the ship. He wasn't on there. They weren't on there by themselves. I'm talking about the gift of faith right now. I'm still talking about the gift of faith because they had to know that who God is. And in order for us to operate in the gift, we got to know who God is. We got to know that he is God, and he is God all by himself. So after they had launched out, after Jesus had fell asleep, and the storm had came, and they felt that they were in jeopardy. And the word of God tells us, and they came to him. They came to Jesus and and they awake him and said, "Master, Master, we perish." And then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and it ceased, and there was a calm. Don't you know when you can believe God, when you can stand on God's word, when you can know what God's word has for you? As when Miss Hoover was telling you about the situation that she was in, and she had to believe God. These disciples of God, they were, it seemed like their life was in jeopardy. But what they failed to understand, what they did not stand on God's word, they didn't know that, forgot that the word was already in the ship with them. They didn't know that that whatever they needed was in the ship with them. So they woke the master up, and they said, "Master, Master," and they let them know. They called the master. I said, even in my spirit, I believe that they were desperate because they said that we perish. Anytime you think that something's going to happen and you're not going to be able to survive, you get really serious. So then they said, "Master, Master, we perish." And then Jesus, he arose. He arose and he began to rebuke the wind. So he was teaching them. He's teaching us that what he did and what he did, we ought to also do. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked that raging of the water. And when he did, there became a calm. When things happen in our life, we have to begin rebuking in the name of Jesus. We have to stand on the word of God. I believe that the woman of God, I believe that Pastor Shank, she said about the verse in Hebrew 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You may not even see it. It may not even look like it. Do you hear me out there? Do you hear me what I'm saying? It may not look favorable to you, but you have to stand on God's word. And he said unto them, this is what the Lord God said unto his disciples. He said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And I say to you today, our radio audience, wherever you may be listening from, I don't know where your faith is. But God is asking the disciples, he said, "Where is your faith?" And because of the fact, in the time of trouble, they didn't use their faith. When the time that it seemed like they wasn't going to make it, they did not use their faith. So there are going to be some times in our lives that we're going to have to stand on the word of God. We're going to have to put our faith into work. We're going to have to stand like never before. So he asked them, he said, where is your faith? And they were being afraid. They wanted to say, oh, at that time, because they didn't even realize who was in the ship with them. They know that it was Jesus. But sometimes, you know, we take Jesus for granted. And if that he is, I know his name, Jesus. I know that he's supposed to be powerful. I know what I read, but this pertained to me. So I believe that even in this, that these disciples, they learn how to begin to walk in faith. Do what Jesus do. Do what Jesus said for them to do. He began to rebuke the wind. He began to rebuke the storm. And then we began to look at that gift of healing. We are all in our lifetime have needed a healing in our body. There may have been infirmity, there may have been sickness, not only your body, there may have been a sickness in your feminine body. I remember there was a time when Pastor Shanks, when she had shared with us about the sickness that her daughter had, and she had to stand in faith. She had to believe God. You know, no matter what the doctor report was to her, she had to stand on God's word, and she had to believe God's word. And I'd like to tell you this on today. It doesn't, you don't have to wait until a situation happens in your life in order to stand on the word of God. We should stand on the word of God daily. That's why we need to read the word of God. When we read the word of God, our faith is going to be stronger. Our faith is going to be activated. And so our faith will take us and give us higher heights and deeper depth in God. When we began to think about healing, I thought about Matthew, of that ninth chapter, about that 18th verse, when he spoke to them. He said, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, my daughter, listen at this, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Did you hear what I said? That was a ruler. It was a certain ruler that came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus that my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hands upon her, and she shall live. I believe that that is, again, faith that being exercised. He said his daughter may be even dead, but if you come and you lay your hand upon her, that she shall live. We're talking about faith. We're talking about healing. We talk about the greatness of God. We talk about the supernatural power of God. And when Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples, he knew that this man, this ruler, wanted him to work this miracle, to pray for his daughter. But then as he was gone, there was a woman that had a disease. I know you read about it. She had an issue of blood. And she had this issue of blood for, it wasn't 1 year. It wasn't 3 years. It wasn't 6 years. But it was 12 years that this woman had this issue. This woman had an issue of blood. I don't know how much money she had spent, how many times she had been to the doctor, how many times she had seek healing, but this woman had to carry this issue. She had to carry the sickness. She had to carry the disease for all that long time. But when she met Jesus, oh, my God, she had Jesus saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She knew it wasn't the average man. She knew that it was somebody that she wanted to touch, that she heard about. This person that she heard about was going to bring a healing unto her body. And she had so much of faith to believe God. We talk about healing. She's talking about, she has so much of faith to believe God that she's saying, if I can just touch his clothing, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, that I will be made whole. Don't you want to be whole today? We're talking about healing. Somebody out there is need of a healing today. And I want you to know that you don't have to wait as long as this woman has waited to have this issue of blood. I believe when we're talking about the gift of faith, when we're talking about the gift of healing, I believe that the God, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of thing. And I believe that there is nothing too hard for God. So then we see faith being manifested. We see faith when she even got up to be able to get down, because she had to get down. She humbled herself. She had to get down in order to touch the hem of his garment. So she was moving in faith. You know, it wasn't done yet, but she moved in faith. And she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, the word of God let us know that she was made whole. Somebody needs to be whole today. Somebody needs to walk in healing. Somebody, you may be sick in your body, you may have an infirmity in your body. Maybe the doctors told you that you have leukemia. Maybe the doctor told you you have cancer. Maybe the doctor told you that you have an issue of blood. I don't know what your issue is today, but I do know that we serve a supernatural God. I believe that we and know that we serve a God that is able to move on your behalf. It doesn't matter what the sickness is. The doctor apparently couldn't do anything for her, and she had to wait 12 years to be healed. The people around her didn't have the faith to believe God. We need some people in this day and hour that's going to believe God. We need some people that's going to stand on God's word. We need some people that's going to believe the word of God and activate that gift of healing on the inside, that somebody can be healed and somebody can be delivered. And sometimes it's not just a physical healing. It may be a spiritual or a mental healing. Whatever it may be, I just believe that God is nothing too hard for God, and God is able to move on behalf. When she touched Jesus, when this woman touched Jesus, Jesus turned about him, and when he saw this woman, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." You know what he said? He said, your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. She didn't have to spend $300. She didn't have to spend $500. She didn't have to spend $5,000 or $10,000. But she was able. Her faith is what made her whole. And I do thank God for every physician that God has put upon this earth. I thank God for the doctors and the nurses, anesthesiologists, whatever a role they play in healing. I thank God for them. But I thank God most of all for the great physician. And God is that great physician. And all we need to do is to stand on his word. For the word of God says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of his word will fail. So here we see Jesus telling this woman who had the issue of blood that touched him, he said to her that your faith has made you whole. I'm telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that your faith will and can make you whole. And here, when Jesus, remember there was a ruler that came and wanted him to lay hands upon his daughter. And before he get to his daughter, then that was when the woman that had the issue of blood came. But then he still had to deal with the ruler's daughter. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and he saw the minister and the people making her noise, talking and using and all, and making a do over her. And he said to them, "Your place, but the maid is not dead, but sleep." And they laughed him to scorn. That is what the world is doing even now. You tell them about God is able to heal and to deliver. You tell some people that God will hear them of the cancer, heal their family member of cancer, leukemia, or whatever it may be, of diabetes, or whatever it may be. Sometimes people will laugh them a scorn. And sometimes they may be even on respirators. And the doctor said, you know, this person is going out, but 5 hours to live. And even they'll tell you that this person is not going to make it through the night. But when you have faith to believe God, when you can stand on God's word, when you can believe what God's word says and know that he is able to heal your body or heal that body of that family member, then you can expect a miracle. That was a song that they used to sing, that I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting the impossible. Things that seem to be impossible, I'm expecting that to happen. So look at these people right here. Now you may know somebody like this. Jesus goes to the house. He goes in order to heal the purpose like he did. Remember Lazarus when he was going to Lazarus after he had waited and didn't go after he had heard that Lazarus was dead, that he was sick, and then he waited 2 more days and then decided to go and see about Lazarus. Well, by then, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Somebody said it's over. Well, let me tell you something. It's not over until God says that is over. It's not over. Hear me now. It's not over until God says that is over. So he went to this house where this maiden was, and Jesus came to minister to him, and they knew that it was in the natural that the maiden had died, that the maiden was dead. But Jesus said, in other words, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they began to laugh him. They began to, you know how people do when they began to scorn on you. But when Jesus see that he was among unbelievers, then he had to put them out. You know that sometimes you begin to work the work of God, and you see people around you that they're not believing you, and that they're not standing in faith with you, and they're saying, no, it's not going to happen. You ought to stop doing that. You ought to stop trying to give people hope. You ought to stop praying for this person, because you know being aware that person is gone. Do you know, you ought to know that this person is not going to be healed. That is not in the scripture. That is not scripture. But the word of God let us know that they, Jesus put them out because they were unbelievers and they mocked and they scorned at what he was about to do. And the word of God let us know that the word of God said that he took her by the hand. And you know, after he took her by the hand, what happened was that this maiden, she arose. This little girl, she arose up. She wasn't dead anymore, but she was alive again. And that's what we got to know, that when God says it's going to happen, we can stand on God's word, when we can put God's word, we can put God's word to a test by speaking the word of God, by believing God's word, by standing on God's word. And as I said before, don't wait until you get a situation that you're looking for God to move for you. If you don't really believe that God is going to do it, you need to believe God. You need to have faith in the Almighty God. And then we also today, we're talking about miraculous power. Somebody have seen a miraculous gift from God, to see God move in a miraculous way. And somebody have seen that which was dead came back to life. I remember the story of one of my pastors that her relative, the doctor, had pronounced them dead, and the doctor left out of the room, and she began to pray, and she stood in faith, with the same faith, the that we're talking about, the gift of faith. And she prayed for this relative, and this relative came back alive. So this is what I'm saying to you today, that you got to stand on God's word. And then when we look at Matthew, the 9th chapter, this is the last one I want to tell you about. And when we start talking about the miraculous, we serve a miraculous God. We serve a miracle-working God. And here we see about that 27th verse of the 9th chapter of the Matthew, the 9th chapter. And when Jesus had departed from there were two blind men that followed him. And they was crying and they said, son, you son of man, of David, have mercy on us. Have you ever been in a situation that you just got tired of being in that situation? Have you been in a place wherein that you're tired of things that are happening in your life and you need somebody to pray for you and you need God to call for healing to be manifested? So when we look at the word of God, when we see the word of God, here there was these blind men. I'm quite sure they wanted, they, I don't know how long they were blind, but the word of God said it was two of these blind men and they followed Jesus Christ. Said, son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe you that I am able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus simply charged them, saying, see that no man know him. Here we see God's word in action. Here we see the move of God. Here we see that God began to hear these two blind men. They couldn't even see. I don't know what kind of sickness or infirmity they had. I don't know if it was a glaucoma. I don't know if they were born blind. I don't know. But what I do know, as the scriptures tell us, that these blind men, they were able to see. And then, you know what? I just want to share. Please allow me to just give you one more. I just want to feel your favor just a little bit more. I just want to let you know the power of God. And here, when the word of God tells us in that 5th chapter of St. Luke, you ought to read it. Read it for yourself. Read it and see the miraculous being manifested. And you ought to be able to move in miraculous as well. And here the word tells us in that first verse, and it came to pass that after people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Have you ever seen people that they want to hear God's word so much that they're going to press upon the preacher, a press upon the man or woman of God, because they are excited, they want to hear the word of God, they want to see faith, their faith will come alive. I mean, have you seen that lately? Anybody that wanted to get to hear the word of God, like the scripture tells us that these people did, how they pressed upon him to hear the word of God? And then in that second verse of that 5th chapter of Luke, the word of God said, and they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their umbrellas to clothing. And he entered into one of the ships, and which were Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Jesus taking time because he wanted them to know him. He wanted to have that revelation, have that understanding. You know, how are you going to believe me if you don't know who I am? And that's one of the points I want to bring out for you today. You, in order for you to work miracles, in order for you to have faith, in order for you to trust God, you got to know who he is. And then the word of God tells us, here he said, and he had entered one of he had entered to one of the ships. He had began to teach his disciples. He began to teach the people as he had sat with them as he was in the ship. And after he had left speaking to them, he told Simon, he said, Simon, to launch out into the deep. Launch out. He said, launch out and let down your net. That's what he said, to launch out
doing her part. Get out there a little bit more. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. He knew that they had been shipping up, they had been trying to catch fish all night long. I'm talking about they were really, really good fishermen. Because a fisherman, it doesn't matter. They're up 4 o'clock in the morning, or 5 o'clock in the morning, and they can fish part of the day, and they don't care because they were fishermen. But here we see that they had been out there all night, and they didn't catch anything. But then God encouraging them, he said to them, Simon, you want them to cast their nets down. And then that's when he said, we are poor all the night and have taken nothing. We don't have anything to show even for this work, but nevertheless, because you said it, God, because you said it, Jesus, we're going to cast our net. And when they had did this, because they was obedient to God, obedience is better than a sacrifice. What happened was they had closed a great multitude of fish, and the net began to break. And then they began to beckon to their partners for the partners to come over. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about miracle working faith. They had so many faith. Imagine now, they were there all night long. They didn't catch anything. But when Jesus told them what to do, and they were obedient to God, then they had this multitude of fish that they couldn't even have to store on their own ship. They had to call for somebody of their partners in order to help them, and even the net began to break. But it's because of the faith. When we can walk in faith, and when we can believe God, we will begin to see the supernatural in our lives. We have been today here on Breakthrough Broadcast. We've been talking about the gift of faith. We've been talking about the gift of healing. Yes, we talk about the miraculous power of God. And you know what? That is not just for Peter and James and John and Paul and the rest of the disciples. It is for men and women today that we can walk in the faith of God. We can walk in the supernatural, that we can have the gift of faith. I'm going to ask you, why don't you read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and that 14th chapter, and why don't you just read the Word of God? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. We are getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to teach and preach your word today. God, we thank you, God, for the panelists that hang on today. We thank God for Ms. Helen Cooper. We thank God, in the name of Jesus, for Pastor Francina Shank. God, as they share the word of God with your people. Father, because your word says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, you say, God, that you will hear from heaven. You say, God, that you will forgive the sin. You say, God, that you will heal the land. So, Lord, I thank you, God, for people everywhere. God, Father, even now that they're receiving their healing by the faith, God, that they're heard, God, us preach today in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we are standing on your word. God, that person, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, that person, Father God, that has the kingdom, we thank you for the healing. That person, Father, that has, Father God, in the name of Jesus, a fist in their back, we pray healing. We thank you for the healing right now. That person, Father God, they could not see. We thank you, God, for opening their eyes, Lord God, even now, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, God, for soul being saved, God, even God, as we have preached the word of God and as we have taught the word of God. Lord, even now, God, to have your way. Lord, I ask you, God, to build the faith, Father God, of the people, Father God, all around the world, God, even as we preach, God, that they'll know, God, that you are God, God, that you are God that does not change. Your word says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot and not one tittle of the word will fail. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for all that you've done, all you're going to do, or for
and Pastor Francina Shanks. Please join today as we have come forth again on the breakthrough broadcast. You need a breakthrough. All of you that heard today, I'm sure that you receive your breakthrough. May God bless and keep you. Is our